Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
How does an economy that is more mindful and less mindless become a reality? Welcome to the Mindful Marketplace. I'm your host, Joel Skeen, and I'm happy to welcome you to the show where we ask experts, entrepreneurs, investors, and industry leaders for their perspectives on how all of us can, on every level, do our part to help create a more mindful marketplace.
Welcome back to part two of our discussion with author, podcaster, CEO, and personal coach, Drew McClure. If you missed the first half of this episode, definitely go back either on mindfulmarketplaceshow.com or wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, all of those, and listen to part one with Drew McClure. We went over some really, really great information about, just about mindful leadership, about vulnerability, about the importance of leading others from a place of connection and from a place of trust. And I'm really excited to get to dig in here. You know, we talked a lot in the first episode about getting real. And so that's what we're going to keep doing here is we're going to keep getting real with Drew. Drew, welcome back to the show. So happy to have you on here again.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Excited to continue our conversation.
Yeah. So when we were talking last, we left off just about, you know, just about the realities of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, to be really just a person in the world today, with sort of a lack of connection that is, or I should say maybe not a lack of connection, but a diminished connection or a less convenient type of connections, that we have sometimes now in our world where we get a little more isolated. And what I wanted to dig in with you here too is, you know, we didn't get a chance in the first half to really talk about your company that you are the co-founder of, People Profits. And I really think that would be a good jumping off place for us to dive into that discussion about mindful leadership and about this dichotomy and maybe why it's not so much of a dichotomy as it may seem between people and profits. Tell us a little bit about the company. How did you and Jordan decide to start your company and put the focus where you have?
Yeah. So, how we decided to start it was he was an individual leadership consultant, you know, working for himself by himself. And so was I, and we both had successful businesses. But again, back to our first conversation, the one thing that he and I both recognized was missing in our life was team. That as great as it was to be successful and, you know, have a business by yourself, I missed genuinely just doing business with people, you know, and even the exponential possibilities that open up when you combine your strengths with other people's strengths. And so we spent about a year to a year and a half talking about it and even taking on some clients together jointly to really make sure it would be a good fit, that we knew we were friends and we wanted to protect that first and foremost, that, you know, you hear all the time, be careful going into business with friends. And so we took that seriously and said, hey, let's date before we get married, right? And so we dated for a year and realized, like, wow, we really do work well together. We see things similarly and our differences are complementary. And so we took a leap in 2020 to combine our businesses together right when the pandemic hit, which was both a blessing and a curse. You know, the curse was to have an immediate hard time when you're starting a new business, and we hired two people and so we added overhead. But the blessing was I didn't go through that challenging year alone. That even though it was tough, man, we had each other and we had our team and we were able to really innovate during that time. So People Profit is really our belief that when your people profit, your business profits. And we just, in coaching so many executives, they were constantly feeling this pull and almost feeling like those two things were opposite, that they had to either choose to focus on the profitability of the business at the expense of their people, or choose at the profitability of their people at the expense of their business. And we really started realizing we could help people see that they didn't have to make that choice, that that was a false dichotomy. And that if you really invested well and strategically in your people, it would almost always lead to a greater impact and profitability in your business. And so that's kind of our main thing is, hey, man, if your people profit, your business will profit. And so we help companies and leaders and to do that, to see both of those things come to fruition at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, that definitely is, in a lot of ways, contrary to, I think, the way a lot of people think about business, both from an outside perspective when people think about other businesses, but also, like you said, that leaders in a lot of contexts believe that there is a tension between, you know, people are, if you have to spend money on your people, that that's going to hurt your bottom line.
Right.
But in this show, you know, one of the main questions we ask is, what if investing in each other could actually change the world? And we focused on that in a few different ways. We've talked about how, you know, spending your money locally is investing your spending your cash, the money that you have on hand, into your own community rather than into multinational corporations who will suck that profit out of your community and send it to, you know, I don't know, an offshore island or, you know, something like that.
Right.
We've also talked about that in regards to investing with your investment dollars, you know, the retirement savings that you may have, not only sending that money up to Wall Street to those same big companies and same big banks, but learning about ways that we can actually invest our money into local businesses, into local supply chains, and into businesses that are aligned with our values. And what this is really about with you, it sounds like what People Profit is about saying, okay, that's all great, but what about within the company? What about within the organization, within the you know, business that I may have, is about actually invest into my people. I'm going to get a return on that. And yes, that return will be financial. There will be a financial ROI on my investment into my people, but there's also going to be that social social ROI at the same time. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we trademarked this phrase and this process called the People Profit Chain, and it becomes very logical once you look at it, less woo-woo, less abstract, when you realize, hey, it starts at the beginning of the chain, that I hire the right people. Right? People that have a culture fit, people that have a values fit, have a skill set fit. If I hire the right people and then I create the right culture and give them the right resources, those people will thrive, which will create better customer service, better execution, less mistakes, less turnover of customers, less turnover employees, which all of those things naturally lead to more revenue for the company and a greater profit margin, right? And so it's a very logical thing. Like, hey, man, but it starts all the way at the people. You bring the right people on board, you give them the right resources, you create a healthy culture around them, they will take care of the customers better, they will do their job better, and the business will win. And so that's what we believe, you know. But a lot of people see, and it's not because they want to, but a lot of people will end up seeing their people and the investment in their people as expenses instead of realizing them as investments. And that's a really big deal. It's a big deal in your mindset. It's a big deal in your attitude. But we'll see, you know, hey, this is another expense on my sheet. You know, my headcount is an expense. Any training I do is an expense. Any coaching that I give them is an expense. And it's like, it's only an expense if you're either hiring the wrong people or you're giving them the wrong investments. Everything else, if it's the right people with the right investments, it is an investment for sure. It grows and the ROI is going to be higher than the investment, right? So that's what we do. And part of it is helping them realize where to start. You know, for us, we've really simplified it for most people and say 9 times out of 10, we need to work on burnout and we need to work on blind spots. Those would be the two things that we'd say is, hey, listen, there is probably a lot more demand on each person in your company than they feel like they have the capacity to bring to that demand. You know, whether that's time, whether that's energy, whether that's how many clients they're juggling or the deadline and the schedule. And all of that puts people in survival mode. And when we're in survival mode, we are in energy conservation mode. And we don't make great decisions when we're scared or when we're tired or overwhelmed. We don't put up great work. We're not great coworkers. We don't give great customer experiences. All of those things change when we feel like we're thriving. If we have enough energy, if we have a great quality of energy emotionally, and we feel focused and we feel purpose and all those things, like, man, you get an entirely different person doing the same tasks inside your company. And so that's all around burnout. And it really, we saw that demand and recognition for it grow exponentially in COVID. It highlighted what was already there. It was not like a new problem, but all the isolation and the fear that people were experiencing, when I would bring up to a CEO, hey, would you like me to help your people with burnout? It became, it went from like a, tell me more about that, to, yeah, what do you got? Please, you got anything? Like, my people are struggling. I'm worried I'm going to lose them. I'm worried about their mental health. And so again, it wasn't a new problem, but it just got exacerbated and exposed. And so that's been one of my greatest joys, is coming in and saying, hey, there's some real things we can do to help your people take care of themselves better, and for you to know how to take care of them, so that they are not showing up to work in survival mode, but they're showing up in more of a performance state. And then the second is blind spots, right? Like, you have to know yourself to lead yourself, and you have to know others to lead others. And everywhere we have blind spots just acts as collision points where we unknowingly create pain or create damage in some sense. And so those are usually the two areas that we're helping people with.
Man, I think that that's so key. You know, a lot of times I think, at least for me, I get caught up sometimes in sort of, simply focusing on what the mission of a business is or what the mission of an organization is. But at the same time, like, the leadership piece of it, this idea of, I'm going to invest into my people and I'm going to treat my people as fully human beings, I think we've all had bosses or we've all had leaders in different organizations or different companies that you can tell that they just look at you as, what can I squeeze out of that person?
Sure.
How much can I squeeze out of them before they quit? You know, I think George Carlin, says that, the way the things are set up is that, it's that the companies pay you as just enough to keep you from quitting, and you do enough work to not get fired, right?
Right.
And that's a bad system. When I was working in nonprofits that had absolutely fantastic missions that were doing good work in the world, they still had huge problems with turnover, with retention, with stability in those organizations, because a lot of times there really wasn't a focus on good leadership.
Right.
People were just thrown into those roles without understanding that dynamic. And also, a lot of those times organizations didn't have the kind of funding to really, invest into their people to make sure that they were paid well enough so that they weren't in scarcity mode, And so I think this is such an important piece of the puzzle, regardless of what kind of industry you're in, regardless of what the mission of your business is.
Yeah, it's just not smart. Like, what I love is that things that are true like this actually make sense in the bottom line also. Like, if we just want to work with human nature, right, instead of fighting human nature, you're going to have a way better, a higher chance of getting somebody to do something that has a payoff for them personally. Right. I wish it wasn't that way, that we could all be altruistic all the time, but I'm actually pumped that taking care of people is a better profitability for the business, because it gives an extra incentive to do the right thing. Does that make sense? It's like, the right thing is to treat people like human beings. The extra motivator is that doing that is actually good for you if you're the owner of the business, because turnover is costly. People doing the bare minimum is costly. Like, it doesn't actually work the way you think it works. People wanting to stay somewhere for a long time and people that give their best is really good for whatever mission you have. And so it's the same thing with nonprofit. Like, it sounds sexy to be a martyr. It's just bad strategy. It's like, man, that sounds so cool that you're giving yourself so completely and neglecting yourself for the common good. Great. How long can you keep that up?
Yeah.
How long can you keep that up? And so when I just got to talk to a major national corporation and talk to 3,000 of their people about this very topic. And I said, here's my guess. I'm going to give you all this stuff on how to recover better, on how to get out of survival mode. And where you're going to stumble is that you're going to feel guilty doing what I tell you to do. And everybody shook their head yes. I was like, because you've bought into an idea I love, which is servant leadership. This corporation really, really harps on and lives out servant leadership. And I'm like, and that's awesome. But you've misunderstood how to best be a servant leader. You assume that being a servant leader is to always neglect yourself for the benefit of somebody else. That is actually a false dichotomy. Because if you get that out of balance, where you give energy, more than you ever recover energy. You go into debt, and you can get away with debt for a while until you can't. And usually that means like physical or emotional debt, right? Where you're so taxed at what you're doing for other people that at some point you literally break down. And when you break down, you can no longer give. You can't give compassion. You can't give energy. You can't give love because you are broke down on the side of the road. And so I asked them, hey, when you're your best, and I did this exercise, which maybe your audience can do too. I had them remember a day that they felt like they were a really great leader. They felt great. They executed well. They enjoyed the day. And I said, give me 6 adjectives that describe how you felt that day while you were doing that day. And then I did the opposite. Give me a typical tough day, a day that you were not proud of yourself as a leader, that you did not enjoy the day, you did not make good decisions. All right, what 6 adjectives describe you when you're in that state? And what I showed them was one was a performance state, them at their best, and one was a survival state. And I said, look at that list, the first list. When you're in that state, which is, by the way, typically it's high quantity of energy and high quality of energy. So your answers are like focused, driven, energized, inspired, passionate, things like that. I'm like, when you're feeling that way, are you a better leader? Everybody said yes. Are you a better spouse? Yes. Do your kids like you more? Yes. Are you more generous? Yes. So then how is it selfish to do the things that promote that person coming out more often than you? Right? So if you think about caring for myself, if I care for myself adequately, like I sleep well, I exercise, I have hobbies, I do the things that my soul needs to thrive, everybody around me likes me better and benefits more from my life. But that's the part that they have to overcome, is that taking care of myself and then vice versa, taking care of other people actually brings out a collective benefit. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Joel?
Yeah, no. And as you know, as you're thinking, it's what's coming up for me is that, so a lot of times we think of those things as being selfish. It's like, I want to do things for myself, but then at the same time, we think of doing things for other people almost as like a burden, as this thing that we have to, you know, endure to be able to serve other people. But from, you know, the research that's been done in positive psychology and just from kind of, you know, understanding human nature, we actually become happier when we give to others, when we do things in service of others.
Correct.
You know, it truly is better to give than it is to receive on a psychological level. And so to me, it's helpful in breaking down the barrier that we feel between ourselves and others. You know, I think from pretty much every, you know, tradition in the past, whether it's from the East or it's from the West, we're all trying to get to this point where we break down this idea that I'm over here and you're over there and that we're at odds. But the reality is, when I help myself and it's for the purpose of helping others, I am helping others. And Correct. When I help others, I'm actually helping myself. And that we are all interdependent and interconnected. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, the clothes I'm wearing right now, I didn't make these clothes. Other human beings made these clothes. The food that I eat was grown, shipped, and oftentimes prepared by the hands of other people. The house that I live in was built by other human beings. Everything that I am, the company that I work for, was created by other people. The context that company is in was created by other people. You, me, we really are the sum of everything and everyone else. And that division that we feel oftentimes leads to us treating other people poorly and treating ourselves poorly at the same time. And so when we can move from thinking about me to thinking about we, and we can stop seeing just what makes us different than others, but see, like I said, our common ground and see each other really as, you know, what are we? We are each other. I like the idea of me does not exist without the idea of you and right. Vice versa. Right. And so a lot of times we think in this sort of, you know, line down line down the middle, you know, I'm over here, you're over there, and helping me is just helping me, and helping you is just helping you. But really, it sounds like what you're saying is, you know, this sounds like this way of thinking is about blending that line and getting rid of that harsh division that we feel that I think does cause our sense of separateness, our sense of loneliness,
yes,
and a lot of the depression and anxiety we feel because we're so wrapped up in me being over here and you being over there and what that means.
Absolutely. I mean, man, we know that self-obsession is not a recipe for happiness or having any good friends, right? Like, if we're so self-obsessed with always what I need, what I want at the expense of others, it's a miserable, lonely life. But so is self-neglect. Self-neglect looks sexier. But again, you at some point will, no matter how good of a person you are, start to see that service, that person as a burden because you're drowning. It's just a survival instinct. If you have it too self-focused, yep, that's not good. You're just others focused with no regard for self, man, that is a recipe for disaster too. And so it is like breathing in and breathing out. Like, we need that cadence of like giving, breathing out, exhaling compassion, love, connection to other people, but also breathing in. Why? To fill your lungs up to be able to give generously again, you know? And so I see it as this working symbiotic relationship of, yeah, you know, quantity wise, if we're just talking about like raw data, you're probably, for a happy, healthy life, you're probably gonna be giving more than receiving. That, like, if you just clock the hours, like right now, my hours are mostly giving. It is to my kids, to my business, to the world. But the quality of receiving matters. I may not be able to give myself 8 hours a day like I do to my job or to my family or whatever, but can you give yourself one quality hour a day or a few quality hours a week? You know, can you get good sleep? Can you do just the simple things? Like, I preach this all the time, but we typically make it so complicated. I love ice plunges and all that kind of stuff, but dude, why do we make it complicated in avoiding the simple? Like eating good food, moving your body, you know, sleeping, reaching out to friends, taking some time to journal, to read, like things that don't take a lot of time, but if done consistently, allow you to stay engaged and not in survival mode.
Yeah. And it's, and I know for me, like, I was, you know, doing a meditation not too long ago, and they talked about the importance of having an intention when you're doing your meditation. You know, if it's just, if you're just sitting just to sit, you know, a lot of times you're not going to really get as much out of it. But when I sit in order to have a clearer mind, in order to be better for myself and for others, you know, that's really where the benefit can lie. And I think, you know, I'm loving this conversation because, you know, when we do things that are, when we breathe in so that we can breathe out, when we pull so we can push, when we, you know, when we breathe in so we can breathe out, I think that's really where that separation goes away. And that's where we really live, because our true selves, I don't think, is wrapped up in the opinions we've been told we should have, in the ways that we've been taught to think about things. It lies in that selfless place where, and I don't even mean selfless like you don't care about yourself, but where you're not thinking about yourself. I think that's what the best definition of humility I've ever heard is. It's not about thinking less of yourself. It's just about thinking about yourself less. And that's where you can actually be yourself because you're not thinking about it too much, you know? Man, I wish we had like another couple hours, honestly, to keep talking about this, but we do have to wrap things up here. For the listener, listen to this episode and the first episode, make sure, and plenty of other episodes on my site at mindfulmarketplaceshow.com. You can also connect with me around debt elimination services, helping people get out of debt in half the time or less without spending any more money. And also make sure to go to bizradio.us to listen to this show and plenty of other shows by entrepreneur hosts. And go to peopleprofit.com to check out Drew and Jordan's company and learn more about how it is that they are helping leaders become more mindful and to serve in a way that is beneficial for themselves, for their companies, and for all of us in the long run. Drew, man, loved having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to be here with us. Appreciate you so much. For those of you out there, make sure to take care of yourselves and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.